We really don't know. Yeah. When we couldn't even pick up goop, you know?
Yeah. We couldn't even see it.
And when, what would happen if it was nuclear? I think that I feel for the animals, but it's going to be a lot more research done on prevention and recovery, you know? It's going to have to be right now, right kind of equipment, you know? Not a big, fabulous thing that you got to be a genius to operate.
Yeah.
It's got, you know.
Well, it seems like the fishermen have made a lot more progress than some.
I wanted to know how much a pound of oil weighs. I mean, how much a pound of oil weighs about? How many pounds in a gallon? Roughly.
My guess would be 6 or 7, less than water anyway.
Yeah, 6 or 7 pounds of what?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
For, you mean just regular oil?
I'm trying to place gallons in pounds. A gallon or cubic inches, either way. I would say gallon in pounds, okay, about 6 or 7 pounds. Okay, now look at, we made 200 ton sets of herring, and they are alive, going up and down everywhere. And we pump them out.
Mm-hmm.
See, now they should be able to build something that wouldn't even blow away, you know, to pick that up.
It's so sticky though. You know, today I was loading up a fishing game truck and I had a couple of boxes of groceries in the back. And then that other guy, took that same truck out to Anton Larson to pick somebody up who'd been out on a haul. And he threw some kind of junk on top of my boxes. I went to pick up the grocery boxes later, and there was something that he had on the boat that had tar from that on it. And just a little bit of stuck with sand was on the boxes, and it got all over my hands, it got on my pants.
Yeah, just like tar. Like tar would oil.
Real sticky, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a lot of it evaporated, they say, a lot of it. But we won't know, actually. In fact, we don't even know the microscopic food chain.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We might say we know.
Mm-hmm.
We got an idea of what.
Yeah.
And we don't know, writing Pinchin themselves, how long we've been killing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was growing up, out around here, you'd see whales all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there was herring all over there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, in this area right here, there were 7 herring reduction plants.
Wow.
And they wanted oil and meal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another thing.
Do you think that wiping out the herring made the whales go away because there was no food for them?
I would think so. See, there ain't no food, you know, that they. There won't be nothing to eat, you know.
Yeah.
Well, now take the king crab, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't How much do we know about plankton? There's supposed to be 50 plankton.
Mm-hmm.
We say we know, but that is part of the chain, you know. And it's hard to say, but I think, well, it's hard now. See, it's a free country, and there's such a big article about Sawmill Bay, that little hatchery over there, and that could be replaced. Those little, we might lose them for a year, but they could be replaced, you know.
Yeah.
Couldn't that effort have been used someplace else, you know?
Think about those bird rookeries.
Huh?
There's some, couple of those islands with really big bird rookeries.
Yeah. Naked Island.
Yeah, I can't remember when they were talking about down near Seward someplace. That had
it's down in
something rocks.
Chugach.
I don't remember the name of it. Chittenden Rocks.
Yeah. That's really hard, you know. Some locations, they could just wipe out all the stock, you know, that are migratory.
Yeah.
You know, the birds that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote in my article, you know, you gotta sacrifice some of the safety. Can't say it all. That's why I thought of that hatchery. You know, the little fish, as dumb as I am, I get a pump and pump it into one of those crab boats and take it out and put it out at Puget Bay or something. Mm-hmm. Or take it out outside of Montague and dump. You know. But it's you could see something that you babied from right from the start, you don't want. Emotions got more than, you know, to that, the stock was built, you know.
And the thing is they put direct money into the salmon. They don't put money into keeping the birds going, they take care of it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I mean. I couldn't get it across the message, you know. They talk about agriculture here, Kodiak raising salmon. Why don't they send 6 guys up there on the spot? Let them be. Throw away your textbook for a while. Go there and work with them for a couple of years. You know, that would have been the best thing that could ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
See, I've got nothing against fishing game.
Mm-hmm.
They have policies they got to
follow. I work for them, you tell me. There's an awful lot of baloney that goes on.
There's people working for certain degrees too. Like Carluck. I don't know how many year stretches they have one biologist up there studying. And another one comes in, instead of taking the other guy's notebooks, he starts all over.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was kind of, you know, that kind of upset me. And they're committed to do something. So many stupid laws around now, you don't know. But Katoy now, I still wonder, I've got nothing against it, but I'd like to see some figures, proven figures, Well, I was, one night we got into a discussion, Joe and I, okay, 10 million little fries. Now what is the, how many do you think will come back to, you know?
Maybe a million,
say. Yeah, to go out to see. You know, we were trying to figure that out.
Uh-huh.
10 million. You know, it's, I don't even dare try to get into argument with nobody around that. What I would do with this hatchery business, there's an old Chinese saying, don't work against the elements, work with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As much as you know about fish now, what resources you know about hatcheries now, if they gave you and I permission, you know, and say they paid us minimum wage, but gave us permission, but guaranteed us a percentage of what fish came back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just follow me and see what you think of what I would do now. Now, give me, I could draw a sketch and be more simple than talk. Well, this is the one yours. You wanted me to read it or what?
Well, I just thought you'd keep it for...
Yeah, okay, let me read it. You got a copy of it?
Yeah, I've got it on a disc, so
oh,
I can make
good.
A print of it anytime. Oh. If you want, you can mark it up. If you disagree with anything, I can take it out.
No, that's, yeah. See, now, we're way out of our subject now. I'm just drawing this right off the top of my head. You know, that's a so-called dream, you know. See? And you and I got the permission to improve that run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we won't need no technicians, we won't need no biologists. Maybe we would ask somebody to survey for us. But although we could do it with a garden hose, we would do it this way. Okay, we got this creek here, see. Let's take, for instance, I got Anton Larsen Bay in mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's creek that runs on Anton Larsen Bay. Okay, you and I got permission to improve that creek, and they would furnish us some eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, we'd go around, I don't know how far apart we'd put these. We'd go that far apart, and we would get the sea level, you know, of each one of these, how from over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She like me now, see, I was adopted out. I was one of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I was just one of the family.
Mm-hmm.
No, nothing. And I mentioned my uncle a lot in the book, that he was my teacher, you know. He taught me more,
mm-hmm.
most of the things that I, you know, that I remember. And what else did you think? But this is what I would like to do is build one of these.
Mm-hmm.
To frame anyway.
Uh-huh.
I know how to preserve the skins and whatnot, but it takes a little doing.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and you probably have to go through some hassles to get someone, to get the, is it sea lion teeth?
No, just
seal.
It wouldn't be that much of a deal getting them, but yeah. You'd have to have a place away from town to do them because they're very odorous.
Uh-huh.
I tried it over there, but the darn weather turned cold and they didn't ferment enough. And it
uh-huh.
got, when they get cold, it, the air wouldn't come out.
Uh-huh.
We did get one though.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to do it, you know, and I couldn't do it in the village because people would complain
uh-huh.
and couldn't do it by the dump because there was bear over there.
Yeah.
So it, and I did show them how to preserve the intestine, and, but this is what I'd really like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing a lot of thinking too about the equipment they had on the Bedarkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how to build the tools and so on?
All the tools I would like to build, you know, like, I guess it's beyond our time. Let's see that pencil. Let's see, I guess that's graphic. That's not graphic. They even build a grappling hook, you know, like this, you know, wood frame, you know, with the three prongs on it, weighted down, you know, grappling hook
mm-hmm.
to retrieve a sinking, like seal that would
mm-hmm.
sink,
mm-hmm.
or else if you were walking along the beach, the bluffs, you know, and you got a seal down there, you could grab it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one tool that I don't think many of the people know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that made of wood mostly?
Huh?
Is that made of wood mostly?
Wooden, yeah, wood, and whatever metal or bone, whatever you
mm-hmm.
could get into. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it was like if this was the wood would be bored into that, like it would be like this, the hole would be bored, you know, but it would be slanted, you know,
mm-hmm.
slanted like this, and you'd fit another piece of wood in there. And then, if you didn't have metal, you'd use bone or something, you know, for the real point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd lash this together here, and then it fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was. And then plus, you could use it for an anchor.
Uh-huh.
Like you stop for lunch or something,
yeah.
or rest in the middle of the day,
uh-huh.
you could coil a line and put it on the end of your barrack and push it out, and then when it got so far, you drift it off
mm-hmm.
and you tear it off.
Mm-hmm.
And see, because if you went up on the beach, you had to take all that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's special places. I'd like to do that. I'd like to show how the stuff was stored.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know this too, see. This would be matting, you know. Like this fit under each person in the monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. It would be about that wide, you know.
Kind of slats put together to sit on.
Yeah.
Does that keep you up, keep you from getting so wet?
Well, see that, see they had a hole in this,
mm-hmm.
and you insulate it through here,
mm-hmm.
then you do it the same way the other side. See how you see, displace it through here and underneath, and then over, then the other one would be underneath here, see?
Mm-hmm.
That way it goes. And that way you just rolled it up and you stuck it in the hole like this and you,
mm-hmm.
you rolled it out. See, that was the first matting.
Mm-hmm.
And always they had a bear hide or a goat hide. That's, you know, that was used for bedding, plus it kept your foot warm.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I had a bear hide. I remember goat hides would have goat hair on them when they get up in the morning. And that was something that a lot of them didn't know. No, I mean, they don't know now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could, we rode kneeling down and
mm-hmm.
you could see yourself kneeling on that.
Mm-hmm.
Even sitting on them cross pieces
yeah.
would be, but
yeah.
see this, and then that bear hide, that made quite a cushion, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, comparing kneeling on it.
Uh-huh.
And also they had a halibut line, see, halibut line, and it had a handle built like this. This would be I mean, this is the roller part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in here there was a piece like this here, and there's a hole in here that's round.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you see, this is the handle, and that turns, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like if you went to fishing, you know,
yeah, it could unwind.
You just hold it and it would go down by itself.
Uh-huh.
But when you pull it up, you made a coil of it on top to the baraki, uh-huh. then you rolled it on to it.
Uh-huh.
But it was quick to let out.
Uh-huh.
And another thing they had was made out of little trees, you know. It was shaped like this, you know. About that big, you know. You'd find a knot that came out, you know, and it would be like this. And here's the halibut line, and here's the sinker, and here's the hook right here. See? I guess that kept it away. I've seen them with two hooks on like
mm-hmm.
that, you know. But they kept that, and I guess it kept the hook clear or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to do this, you know, just build a hook, make a hook.
Uh-huh.
I think Larry Metvey knows how. He's the only
uh-huh.
person I talked to that.
Uh-huh.
That.
So you made your own hooks when you were younger?
It was taught to us, but we could always buy a halibut hook for a little bit. But this would be a branch about that big, you know, with a limb on it.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you would twiddle it down to, let's say, about big as this pencil.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Put it down,
mm-hmm.
and on this end here, it's duck bone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
like that. This is more like that angle, you know. Duck bone. That sharp.
Would you sharpen it up?
Duck bone, it's sharp on both ends.
Uh-huh.
And you whip that together. And this is spruce. Spruce, you know, it's a little small tree. And when it dries up, it gets hard and flexible. You can see where the grain runs this way. And that's what they use.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, this, they find that sinker like this with the
uh-huh.
That they use that over and over.
Mm-hmm.
See, out on the beach, at low tide, they'd go set it out with a slip knot on it.
Hmm.
And they have probably had the same deal, you know. See, that floated the hook, you know. See, then the line went out to the beach. And then when the halibut jerked this way, see, this was a slip knot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the halibut jerked that way, it left that rock there. Mm-hmm. And then low tide, they'd go pick it up.
Hmm.
I think it'd take quite a while to hack out one of those.
Yeah.
But that's what I was told.
We found some of those other net sinkers, the ones that, maybe they're older than that design, I don't know, they're from the, what they call the Kamishag period, maybe 800 to 2,000 years ago. They're just a piece of slate with little notches like that. That's what they would use on the nets.
I know.
We found a few of those over on Near Island already.
I'll show you where I found a whole bunch of them on the chart. Let's see if that chart runs far enough. That's on the mainland is where I found, you know,
that's Cape Douglas.
Switch shack, right? Here's Switch Shack down here. Switch Shack. And I think this little right here.
Huh.
Right here on this side. This side.
Uh-huh.
Right on the bank there. There's a big digging there.
Huh.
It's quite high.
Uh-huh.
You could see it from out on the boat. That's why I went up there.
Uh-huh.
Clams and there was porpoise heads and seal heads and everything in there.
Huh.
And I found a lot of them, and I was wondering what they were. They looked unusual, you know. After I found a couple of them, I kept throwing them aside.
Uh-huh.
I must have found a dozen of them.
Yeah. Well, that's apparently that's the later, the Koniag was the later one up to when the Russians came.
Uh-huh.
And the Kashimak, that's a diagnostic.
That's up on the mainland on that.
Yeah.
And
he wants to get out of there.
He wants attention. he does that when I don't let him out. I rather keep him in there when I got company. He's a little loose. He'd crawl up on your shoulders.
Oh, I don't mind. If you want to let him out, go ahead. I don't mind.
We weren't even talking to him.
How long have you had this bird?
Oh, about a week after you were here that time.
Oh.
He talks to with him alone.
Uh-huh.
But, and that site over there was right on the bear trail, you know, about that high up.
Uh-huh.
And I would dig for a while and look. I didn't get to, I found some awls made out of bone.
Bird bone?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And I found something made out of a deer horn.
Huh.
I think it might have been caribou.
Uh-huh.
see, so they must have traded them.
Yeah.
And I gave all that to Jerry.
Uh-huh.
And what I understand, I think someone had dug over there. It might have been some university, because they had holes dug about so far apart.
Well, you know what? Rick was just over there last week, because with the oil spill, they had a whole bunch of people, biologists and everybody, to look at what the damage was and to kind of count the
things. I told him about that one, too.
Yeah. He was over, they wanted him along to map where the sites were, the big sites were over there, and then he could say, well, don't use those pressure washing hoses on the oil in some areas, or don't use heavy equipment here because there's a site or something.
I don't know whether this was after the white man came, or it was the Klan Kukak.
Kukak.
Right here. Kukak. That's one area that got quite a bit of oil. Kukak. No. Kukak. There's a clan that always was inside of Kukak.
Uh-huh.
It might be this beach here.
Uh-huh.
And right up in there, there's an old village. Might be just right here.
Uh-huh.
On that side, there's no village.
Uh-huh.
I think it might have been after the Russians came. I don't know.
Huh.
Right up there. Someone's gladly come.
Uh-huh.
That's the only ones I know on the way.
Well, he said he found quite a few over there. He said some kind of archaeologist that had been there before didn't even fill in, and there were holes like swimming pools.
There was quite a few holes, and I found those rocks more or less in where they've been throwing them away.
Huh.
I just happened to find one, so I kept looking at it. It attracted my attention, so they were identity rocks.
Yeah. Oh.
And I guess what someone said about the skulls, certain clans took animal skulls because it's something in the culture that they believed if they left the skull that the animal come to haunt you or something. It's something like that.
Uh-huh.
And like I've talked to several people about, out of my curiosity, find skulls in the dump, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you could generally tell when you're digging where the dump was.
Mm-hmm.
And what some older guy told me is that was a trophy, you know.
Huh.
They kept it outside their house.
Uh-huh.
After they got it, and they kept it, you know,
uh-huh.
to let them know that they had a trophy. And then I guess when they threw it in the dump, I often uh-huh. wondered, never found nothing else, you know.
Uh-huh.
And found skulls with this deep boat of misses.
Hmm.
Or several of them that were.
So the back teeth?
No, just right.
Oh, the incisor or something?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
And I think I asked Rick about that.
Mm-hmm.
He said that something about identification.
Huh.
That's a heck of a way to identify. But maybe when they're younger, they told them all.
Huh. I wonder if that was slaves or just.
That could be too. And this is awesome. You know, like slaves. I don't know whether they practice it, the Aleut country, but the Eskimo.
Oh yeah, like the
they fixed the boys so they couldn't have babies.
Really?
You know, right on the tube, right coming from the deck, because that tube, they cut it right there.
Huh.
And the, even then the boys had to squat and take a leak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was tracking them, and they couldn't figure out how come the party had women with it, you know. And they found out that it was the slaves that were cut down. That's cruel, you know.
Yeah.
But so they couldn't reproduce.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, that's... See, like, in my notebook, I got where... I think it might have been Smith or Burkett or somebody recorded that our people, how was it now? The nephew could marry the aunt, but the uncle couldn't marry the niece. You know, that was he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not so.
I think you told me before something about the. It's difficult to explain the relationship between people.
I got that marked down because I didn't. I wanted to do more research on it. But a lady, a friend of mine, she's native and she was going to college, studying anthropology.
Mm-hmm.
She said that boy, she got mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not so well. What are you going to believe when they teach you that? See, now look at this. That's Luchik. See, that's similar to the Kodiak, the robber, they call it. That, I've never seen any. All of them are above ground, but I...
Mm-hmm. Did they use sod at all in the houses when you were growing up?
Pardon?
Did they use sod on the roofs or anything?
I remember bark.
Hmm.
You know, in springtime you could get hemlock and the bark just
come
here. And they would get a log about yay long and they would take that. And they would... you know, it would be concave like this, they'd put that, and then they would lap it over like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see, they use sand to hold that down after they put the bark in place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could see just about how they tried to make a chunk of bark about that wide, but whatever it was, they put the first layer up like this, you know, see if it would be concave.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one they'd fit over in between that.
Uh-huh.
And they'd lap and, you know, the same principle that shingle.
Sure.
And after they got that on, they threw sand on it. Because what I seen, sod had grown over it already, but it hadn't. Oh, another thing about that cotton, how cotton line, you know, they didn't have nylon.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where they got it from. It might be Western, but they took bark and boiled it.
Mm-hmm.
And they choked the cotton line in for preservative.
Huh.
It would be...
And what would they use that for?
To preserve the cotton line.
Oh, okay.
I don't know whether that's Western or whatnot. I never heard of any kind of preservative.
Hmm. I wonder, there's probably a I know they use some kinds of barks for tanning. Maybe it had sort of a similar effect on the cotton.
Well, it would because it's the tannic acid kept the bacteria away.
Huh. Uh-huh.
But where did they learn that?
somebody spilled some on there. And then it lasted longer, so they decided to do it.
And, see, there used to be a lot of marmots around.
Uh-huh.
You know, these whistlers.
Uh-huh.
And they made blankets out of them.
Uh-huh.
And I guess one marmot would be about this big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd take them and so make blankets. And I think, now I can't say, I might be quoting from anthropologists, that they used that inside the bear gut garment. I mean, but it wasn't for the... It wasn't for kayaking, it was for their garment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But you,
some of the stuff I've read, they like to use those squirrel skin or marmot skin.
Uh-huh. I wrote something about a lore in my book. It's about a marmot. And I do know that when they're building a vadarki, I guess maybe because they didn't have a drill or something, I seen them burning holes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they heat them up and burn the holes instead of instead of. They didn't have a drill, maybe that. Yeah, see, they heat metal and had it driven into a stick, and then when they wanted, they poured it, you know.
Uh-huh.
They kept using it, and they burned it. And during the workshop, I showed them how to make spears over there. They had one guy doing that, he was, I don't know what kid he was, but he was teaching the kids how to make tools, so I showed him how to make spears. I'd like to do that. I'd like to take a piece of metal and actually hammer it the way we did it, hammer it and shape it.
Yeah.
I'd like to put it on tape.
Mm-hmm.
But that, really, I want to do that, providing they don't make a federal case on it. But I'd like to documentary the Vadarki right step by step and explain to them, you know. And I met that Vadarki builder. I just mentioned his name, Kayak Builder.
Steve?
No.
Kubiak?
No. Somebody else.
Oh, George Dyson.
Yeah. He was over there too.
He's going to be back this summer for that big conference they're having.
But I got in a row with him. I said, better make a notation on that because that is not the design.
Mm-hmm.
What I was sent for.
Uh-huh.
I said, the craftsmanship is good. Everything, but it's not the design. And, his craftsmanship was good, but it was not what I wanted to do. I wanted to use the same fittings, the same everything.
All the same. He's into those space-age materials.
And the same design.
Mm-hmm.
The other design they used, it was good, they add more pieces to it, but you must remember back in the villages they didn't have bandsaws and electric drills and sanders, you know, they had to do it by hand.
Yeah.
There was one guy in the, when there was a community, he's kind of a short guy, when I mentioned that I wanted to build, he said, how long will it take?
Uh-huh.
And I think he might have been interested. I don't know who he was.
Well, there's one guy. Did he have a beard?
Yeah.
I think there's a guy named William. I think that's, it's not Bill. You know, let's see, sort of reddish hair? Sort of reddish brown or?
I don't remember. Anyway, he's kind of short and he had a beard.
Yeah. I think that's William Maloney.
Uh-huh.
And He's a friend of mine. I work at the radio station sometimes. He works up there. He said, he told me he was interested in making another one. So he might be interested in helping.
I think I got the reason Maroney's phone number. He does writing too, I guess.
Could be, yeah.
Because, oh, he's a producer.
At the radio station.
Oh, William Maroney. Because he told me to give him a call if I didn't find out, someone to help me with the book. He told me to give him a call.
Uh-huh.
But what I'd like to is, but I'd like to get somebody that's familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Mine just got to be editor,
yeah,
and find the publisher and whatnot. You know,
Rick was telling me, I don't remember the name of it, but he said that there's a publisher. I think it's over in Anchorage, but it may not. I can't remember. I think it's out of Anchorage. A publisher that's looking for just your kind of story, you know, traditional life ways and things like that.
But,
so I can get the name of that and maybe get in touch with those people.
Wonder what the fine lines read.
You don't know until you find out, until you talk to them.
See, when they won that one house that I talked to, said the $10,000,
mm-hmm,
all the proceeding goes to scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care if the kids go to school or
not.
Yeah. You know, I wanted that.
But I think this is just a straight publisher he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
I'll see if I can find out. And you want me to write a letter, see if
yeah,
what they have to say.
Yeah.